Thanks, Kent This, with myself, Tony Martin.
It's over from the cat, Sally the snake, Freddy the parrot, Tipsy the dog, Freddy the wombat, Nicholas the bearded dragon, Rob the angry monkey, and out the back paddock with his camel mates, Jake.
Yeah, it's Chuckers today.
Grom the angry monkey.
We can't move for comedy characters looking for big stories in the news. What have we got? Costello Gates.
Yeah.
Price of water is going up. Watergate. Beefy Box, Body Double Gate. There's so many controversies, but none bigger than Thundergate. That's right, the disappearance of the Triple M Black Thunders. Now, a lot of people aren't happy with this. I know you've been getting a lot of calls of condolence. It has an ex-Thunder driver.
Yeah, and my heart goes out to all of my fellow promo guys out there who no longer can bear the scorn of the normal working man throughout their days. They hand them a nicely cold bottle of Thorpe's water. Thorpe's Tropical Blast.
What is it?
No, thank you.
What's in Thorpe's Tropical Blast?
Thorpe's very surprised.
Wow.
More Thorpe in every bottle.
Okay. Why have they gone? Now, this sort of, I noticed the station is putting out press releases saying, oh, because we're going for a different approach to promotion. That's not what it's done. That's not what it's about at all.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of incidents. A lot of shameful incidents.
Absolutely right.
Involving the Black Thunder. A lot of people, using it to move house, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I know.
Who are you? I'm looking at you when you say that, Ed.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a car with a tow bar.
Absolutely right.
Proper branding on the side.
A lot of people just, you go around to the Thunder driver's house and it just seems that the whole house is made of, prize packs.
It is.
What does it look like there? Small potatoes.
Actually, that reminds me. When we had sanitarium up and goes, we drank so many sanitarium up and goes at my house that we were backed up for months, Rich.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Really full on.
So many.
Don't drink six a day.
Shameful Black Thunder incidents. Richard Martin was the man who finally broke the bank. He does a bit of Thunder driving. Did you know that?
I did.
Gets out on the weekend, does a bit of Thunder work.
I've never heard any of it though, because I hear it's quite well.
Exactly. Yep. It is very quite well. Yep. We've got a recording here of, this is the one, the straw that broke the camel's back. Richard Martin's last go driving a Black Thunder. Have a listen to this.
Under Sheriff Tom Thrall. It's a blue man. Just a roll call. Anybody? Sheriff? The suspect is drunk. Suspect on the left.
Even in the fish tower.
I'm still out of the words, Matthew McConaughey.
You've ruined it for everyone. Tony, how did the New Zealand cop get so close enough to Richard in America to say you dirty mongrel when he spewed?
And why is the Black Thunder in America? Too many unanswered questions. Maybe we'll talk about them next, or maybe not, here at Get This. Here at Get This, around the nation on Triple M. And when I say around the nation, I mean Adelaide, I mean Brisbane, I mean Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane. Now, Brisbane, what is it that attracts people to Brisbane? Yeah, tourists. Why do they go there, Ed? You're from there.
The promise of seeing Matilda, the giant kangaroo from the 1980s Commonwealth Games that went wild on the Gold Coast.
You're so wrong.
Oh.
The promise of driving past the Billy J. Smith estate.
Oh, yeah.
Hearing him shout, he's fallen over for no reason. Wrong again.
Playing the thing.
People go to Queensland because they want to see what Richard Marsland looks like.
Yeah.
The Get This billboard. The only state you're up in. Is Brisbane, Queensland rather. Mm. I'm assuming it's just in Brisbane. I don't know if they've spread over to the coast.
Oh, okay.
Into Pili or
into Gold Coast, Warragamba,
Innisfail
country.
Well,
Chevron Island. How about this one? Here's an email from Juliet Hunter.
Yes.
Who writes in and says something nice about the show.
Yeah.
And then says, I do live in Brisbane. If you'd like Tony Phillips changed on a bus poster.
I think most of them have been got to already.
The answer to that is yes.
CMB?
I would like it changed.
CMB on the forehead?
Well, I think I'm in charge of CMB work. For Tony, I'm thinking more maybe the arrow through the head, some of that, some blacked out teeth.
Yeah.
A speech bubble would be nice, alluding to the intimate company of gentlemen.
There are so many emails about who Richard Marsland looks like.
Oh,
on the
nobody.
I just can't find them. There's so many of them here. People are looking for hard news. I've just got a news bulletin here. The US government is still reeling from the shock resignation of Karl Rove.
Yes.
World leaders and friends of the infamous advisor to the president have been paying tribute. Kim Beazley said, I wish Mr. McManus all the best in future endeavours. A description of Richard during that story?
No.
People behind the big issues on this show, you know, you've got firstly the Robot Hall of Fame. That's getting a lot of our listeners fired up at the moment.
I know about it.
There is a Robot Hall of Fame that recognises excellence in robotics technology worldwide.
Short circuit in there?
Honours fictional and real robots.
Okay.
So you can submit robots to this website.
I can see where this is going.
I think our listeners know what to do. Let's get Carl Stefanovic in there.
Top 10 at least.
Robot Hall of Fame inductee 2007, Jim O'Neill. That's got to be a real name. He's behind this move.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if David, the robot from that lame Spielberg flick, AI, can make it, surely Circuit Stefanovic is a shoo-in. Here's the link, www.robothalloffame.org. And he's urging everyone to just bombard him with Stefanovic.
Brilliant. Get cracking. Get cracking, listeners.
That was most famous. Let's get the Monaco bar back on the shell.
How's that going?
We're using our power for good here.
Yes. And there's no reason why the Maxibon and the Monaco bar can't coexist peacefully in the freezer in the shop. I mean, we already started something here.
They're very different foods.
Yeah. And the Monaco bar is great for your people with sensitive teeth, as we
absolutely right. Out. Is that what this is about? You think it's the, you know, this is an apartheid going on in there, and there's not room for Maxibon and Monaco?
I think so.
It's like how Paddle Pop eventually wore down the billabong, and now you hardly ever see a billabong. But, you know, the cornetto and the drumstick, they can coexist.
Yes.
So why not?
Very different ice creams, Tony.
Really?
Yeah. No, what it, just, the thing about the cornetto is that it doesn't have the as much chocolate inside its little cone.
Mm-hmm.
Its flavours have always been a little bit more conservative, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Less willing to take a risk on, say, a peppermint swirl or a cappuccino flavour. Less willing. How about this, Richard? Less willing to put the inside of a peppermint Aero inside it.
Yeah, well.
And have goo down the bottom.
Yeah. Marco Doria is urging everyone to go to, well, there's no www, it's just after the two forward slashes, type this in, bring back Monaco bars dot eboard, eBORED dot com. Now, this is a petition to bring back the original Monaco. People are really passionate about this. Because just think, wouldn't you love to re-enter that corner shop and see that shiny golden black wrapping glinting at you from the fridge.
Yeah, looking at you.
That's the site to go to. Robot Hall of Fame. Don't forget, bring back the Monaco bar. Big ideas.
Talking about corner shops, they used to sell chilled methylated spirits at my corner shop.
Really?
Yep.
Icy cold cans of heroin? Something for everybody?
Delicious.
What about, haven't you got something for us? I'm sure you were sizzling something.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk breakfast?
Let's talk breakfast.
ALP Big Breakfast, it says here. It says that people are paying upwards of $250 to go to an ALP breakfast.
And hang with who?
Arch Beavis?
Get hang with the bees.
Beavis for breakfast, anybody?
Or Hat and Teeth,
Old Beats, and any of the old Mustache Brigade from Western Australia.
Is Gillard hanging out there?
Yeah, Gillard's there.
Yeah,
she's there. She's busted.
Just like the Gillard campaign. How's that going?
Yeah, well,
is she serving frosty signs of mead? Possibly at the ALP breakfast?
Yes.
We've got to turn into a theme, I think.
An amazing campaign.
Isn't that what Triple M used to give away in the 14th century? I think, oh, cans of me.
But listen to this. So it's $250 to go to that one. And it's an absolute rip-off if you have a look at the menu. It's just sort of, you know, prawns and such. Richard went to the Liberal Party breakfast for $8.50. Mm-hmm. And he got damper, curly fries, a Don Bradman Memorial Cup trumpets, and a chance to give the Prime Minister a genital sponge bath.
I think he's been incredibly generous, and I thank him very warmly.
On stage.
Does Michael Rowe sound like a real name to you, Ian?
No.
He's the one who's right again. Look at this. I've been driving past those massive and often tastefully graffitied billboards in Brisbane.
Send some photos.
My previous image of Richard Marsland was that of a fat, balding Greg Fleet with a few less teeth.
What a triple threat.
I was quite surprised to find out he does, in fact, look, quite normal.
No. Put his hands in his pockets. Look closer.
The ones that look quite normal are the ones you have to worry about.
I don't want to go.
He could probably use a little sun, sleep, and sex.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wow. Okay, in that order?
Yeah.
All right, send in the free sex for our panel operator. You know the website. You know the address.
This is quite strange. Who have we had? We've had Sean Astin as a lookalike in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman. That's just you, Team Wolf 2. Such a Team Wolf 2 fan. You're just pushing your own barrow on that one.
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, another one that you came up with.
Yeah. I can't really. I mean, Jason Robards is the only one I can think of.
Jason Robards?
Amusing, but I can't.
I have to stretch for that.
All right. Vicky has declared Jason Robards to be the end of this thing, but I agree. More in a moment. I'll get this. Chisels here, and get this, is Triple M. That's where you're listening to, with your ears around the nation. Thanks to the Nissan Navara, huge pulling power. We know. Mm-hmm. We know Tony. Don't have to tell us about every day. Rugged good looks.
Oh, he's having an argument with himself again about the Navara.
The voice is in my head.
But what about the snorkel? What about the beverage holder?
See, that's the thing. Yeah. So many features. More features than Richard Marsland has lookalikes. Yeah, the lookalikes are coming in.
Get a gallery going, Rich.
And, you know, people are saying, you know, when is Rich going to be promoted to name above the title status? It's starting to happen.
So Richard Marsland presents, get this, with Tony Martin and Cavill.
Sure, that's pretty much that on the website. There's
okay.
A lot of photos of Rich, and he's getting all, oh, I'm looking a bit fat in that one.
Actually.
Can we airbrush a few years off me on that one?
Can we get rid of some of the balcony? Make it more of a...
We will get back to you in a moment, Rich. Don't worry.
We have the technology, though.
Well, hang on. Cecilia on the phone is saying lookalikes are coming in.
John Ritter.
John Ritter?
Yeah. Late John Ritter.
Yeah, good morning.
Skin deep.
Yeah, and Noel's you look like Russell Crowe's nicer younger brother.
Russell Crowe's nicer younger brother.
Not a bad idea,
actually. Yeah. Yeah, okay. We might ask for you Russell Crowe later. We'll get to all that. What about big news? What have we got?
Well, since we're talking Hollywood actors,
yes,
let's talk Orlando Bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. As we play a new game, Orlando Bloom or ... Now, unfortunately for you, Tony, the theme song for this segment is you singing Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, how did it go?
I'll get you started.
Yeah.
Small town boy.
In the style of Ian Kelly?
No. In the
get it back down, Murray!
Keep going.
Don't stop. Something about tomorrow.
This is hopeless. Don't stop believing.
It's the wild honey.
No. Just a city girl. Born and raised in South Detroit.
Just repeating everything you're saying. This is your name. This isn't radio. By anyone's standards.
That's poor, Tony. Poor. We're in the segment now. So
just...
Now we're going to have to wallow in it. The way this works is we play a sound effect, and Tony and Richard have to guess whether it is Orlando Bloom or. Here's the first sound effect. Okay.
Oh.
Is that Orlando Bloom? Ready, Rich. Just
oh, yeah.
kind of, you know.
Is it Orlando Bloom?
Is it Orlando Bloom or a plate of fish in milk?
I'm going with fish and milk.
Incorrect. What? That's Orlando Bloom. That's how he is. That's an emotional scene. That's when he played a boxer. All right.
When somebody, like, tearing a plaster off your arm, interrupted by Blimpy the lactose intolerant cat, as far as I can see.
So now you need a different sound.
You need a different sound. Flopping sound.
This is not going to wear it.
Okay, Rich, you ready?
We're in a song at the moment, aren't we?
Hey, you know, Rich.
Yes.
Play the sound. I guess he's got Orlando Bloom or a man with a swarm of killer bees punching a bucket of oatmeal.
It sounded to me, like a man with a box of killer bees
punching a bag of oatmeal.
Incorrect.
Oh, Elizabeth down there. Final sound effect, Richard.
And trying to concoct him.
Just have one flop. That's all I ask. Find me some flops. Get off. That's good. All right, you ready? Tony, away you go, Rich. Okay. Is that
somebody step on a duck?
Is that Orlando Bloom or jelly being poured on a baby pig?
Surely that jelly being poured on a presumably silent and mute baby pig.
Incorrect. Richard's audition for role of McCree in Grey's Anatomy.
That's it.
Outstanding.
All right, and now the closing for this, Tony, you'll be happy to know, is you singing the Jive Bunny Megamix.
Me singing the Jive Bunny Megamix.
That's 1-2-1-2-1-1-1-2.
Flowers, nothing but
We have a song for this, Richard.
No, we've got some air. And then we are going to try and pull this show back together.
I love you, chicken. Until I get home.
Get this. Around the Nation on Triple M. Good morning, everybody. Tony Martin, Richard Martin pushing buttons. Ed Cavalli, you might know him from standing up the back in a false moustache fame on Thank God You're Here.
Goes out tonight.
Yeah, really looking forward to it.
Who's on that?
Tom Glass is coming up for the next hour.
You'll know. Okay, Ed can't remember. He's a busy man. And I should just mention, is Fifi Box on tonight? I think she is.
Well, Fifi's in there. She's great.
Fifi's been accused of some kind of scam.
This is insanity, this story.
Yeah, because it's a commercial on the TV for Rio underwear. And she's attracting criticism for using a body double. But isn't that the joke of the ad?
That's the joke.
It's not like she's pretending.
Yeah.
And not telling you in the ad and saying, oh, look, you know, like the false arse that Richard Marsden often wears in our website photograph.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because I get outraged when I see people's photographs from their holiday at the beach.
Mm.
And apparently they're a massive muscle man. And then I find out later on they've just walked behind one of those things and stuck their head on top of the picture of the muscle man.
Oh,
that is false advertising. Sometimes it turns out they're not actually a pirate. Or in Lederhosen in Germany.
I'm sick of this. And often in CBS, you know, you see a car turn into a transformer. Going by the car, it doesn't actually happen.
Unbelievable.
So we add Fifi Box to that roster of shame.
Good on you, Fifi. We love Fifi's work.
Here in Sydney.
Best breakfast show there is the old Shebang.
That's a good show.
Fantastic.
But, you know, let's prove our own credentials musically here. We're on the end.
We are.
Premier Rock Network. Let's see if we can lay down some new sounds live on the show. Richard, I want to hear some guitar that has just a vague, almost subliminal hint of Stairway to Heaven. Can you do something like that?
Let me fire up the axe.
Keep you in the dark, you know they all protect. Keep you in the dark, and so it all begins.
Is the Pretender. Here, get this on Triple M, where next Tuesday, it's just been pointed out to me, we're celebrating a very special anniversary.
I think you get to 50 and you think about what you've done and what you still want to do in life.
No, that's not No, it's not our 50th. It's 300 shows.
Yeah, we don't want to make too much of a fuss.
Because traditionally you make a bit of a fuss for 100,
yep,
and then 500.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're going to be foregoing our usual suits that we wear every day to dress casually on that day.
Yeah, let's go.
Should we wear suits? Or what should we do?
I reckon dinner suits. Let's go to full formal wear. Should we do that?
What colour tracksuit pant goes with a dinner suit?
The radio, any colour.
Yeah, I'm wearing. Oh, sorry, I'm in a dinner suit right now. Yeah. My cravat keeps hitting the mic.
All right, we'll try and do something.
My neckerchief keeps getting in the way.
But every day is special.
It's magical.
We've still got our health and safety issues from April. There's still lawsuits.
August too. That's going to be a minefield of lawsuits. But let's not talk about that now. Let's climb a certain mountain. Lookalikes are still coming in for Richard Marsden. Brian reckons he looks like Robert Palmer.
I don't mind that.
That's a beauty. Craig says he looks like a young Mark Hamill.
Luke Skywalker.
Not bad.
Star Wars.
Bad, yeah.
It's a pre-car crash, Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
Okay.
PC. You want a car? One yourself, just go to the website. Yeah, how many photos are there of Richard out there?
Plenty.
Just, you've got to go exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And still.
Look at that. Look at the balcony. And the balcony's hanging over the panel a little bit today, Rich. Or is that jumper?
A lot of calls. John Ritter. People still saying he looks like John Ritter. Hey, maybe you could have played the fake John Ritter in the telly movie of Behind the Scenes on Three's Company that went out, I think, on Channel 7 or one of the networks, Midday.
Right.
You've got to keep an eye on that Midday movie.
It's looking good, actually. John Ritter would be perfect if he was still alive. I think I've mentioned
it sure.
For the Bill Hicks movie.
Or the John Ritter story, perhaps.
You're quite right about Bill Hicks.
Yes, yeah. Very true. I liked her this week on the Midday movie. Cecilia pointed out they're running that Australian movie where Dennis Hopper plays Frank Sinatra.
Oh yeah, Night of the Day.
How weird is that? And he sort of does, I think he's miming to real Sinatra songs.
Yes, there's that brilliant, although David Field as Bob Hawke.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good bit of character.
It would be good if Dennis Hopper had to do the Sinatra songs himself. Lending a creepy edge to, I got you under my skin, man. Spite of a warning voice that comes in the night. Repeats in my ear, man. It's a pretty creepy song when you do it. But don't you know, little fool, you can't win.
Don't look at me when
you... It's your mentality, man. Under my skin. It's a very creepy song. When you did a topper it up.
Yeah.
I'm just panning.
Because I'm coming into the crawl space now. It's going to grab me.
I'm worried that we're not going to have enough gear for this because either Biggin, that's right, one of our listeners, wants us to do accidental public nudity. Now, I've never been involved in any myself, although I did appear on Thank God You're Here in a rather ill-advised superhero costume. That's as close as I've got. Nick Heavily, accidental public nudity?
No, not from me, but... However, the street that I've just moved into is known for its, how do you clean this up, really?
Ladies of the night.
Thank you very much.
Trawling the streets outside your window.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of the night, trawling the streets.
Something for everybody.
And the other day I was on my bike riding to work. Yeah. 8 o'clock in the morning, mind you, or something around that time. Close to 9. And as I rode past, there were some two people engaged in an act in the front seat of a car.
Really?
And I saw them. And they saw me.
Yeah.
And what the bloke did to try and cover it up, he just put his hand up to his phone. Just taking a call, mate. You know what it looks like? She's looking for something she lost under the pedals. And I'm just going, I've got business calls to make, mate. Nothing bad going on here.
So this is a great piece of advice. When you're caught doing anything dodgy, just pretend you're on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, mate, look, I'd love to stay and get busted, but I really got to take this.
Like it's a Christmas party or something.
Absolutely. So there's one. And now another quick one I want to mention. My ex-flatmate, John, good friend of mine. We went to the TAB on the weekend. Oh, that's a joy factory. Anyway, we were in there, and as we walked out, I said, John, the art of your jeans has been worn away, and you're now sporting chaps down the street. And he said, oh, that's...
No, it's all right. When I'm sitting down, and mostly I'm facing people from the front.
Guy, we've got to get him back in here. He needs his own segment.
That's what I'm going for. So much art hanging out. Britney Spears type cheek hanging out below. Unbelievable.
Bit of under cheek. Mr. Marsland, accidental public nudity.
Okay, we had some relatives staying over with us from the United States, and they were staying over during a heat wave. It was very hot, and we had no air conditioning. So then I heard the phone ring. I went up to get the phone. I was naked. I said, hello, is anyone home? Hello? Hello? Can someone answer the phone? No one was home. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was doing shift work. So I waited for my slumber, walked down the hallway naked to pick up the phone. And I walked in, and halfway through the phone call, I turned around, and there's my uncle from the United States, who I should have mentioned at the start of the story, was deaf. So he couldn't hear the phone, he couldn't hear me yelling down the hallway. I walked on in, being busted, yes, completely naked.
Gave him a little hamburger, and then off you went.
Not giving yourself the horn there, Rick.
Oh, sure. That's
more than that one.
Yeah.
You want to see photographs of that? The gallery page, I think, on our website has it.
Should we see how we go with this?
You're really a part of me, man.
Don't.
Ring a ding ding, man.
Stop it. You do. Sorry.
Okay.
It's creepy.
Bend down.
All right.
Here's the number to call with your story of accidental public nudity. No horn, Rich? Horns for everybody in the city. Everyone's going to want a bit of that action. 1-3-3-5-3. It's on Triple M. We're up Talkback Mountain. We're looking for examples of accidental public nudity.
What a favourite.
And just to show you how seriously we take this show, I've written down a conversation I heard on air between Ed and Richard. Richard, horns for all these stories, you reckon? Ed, horns if it's nogs, stiffy if it's wang. Richard, I don't want to burn the stiffy side. You see how seriously we take the wacky sound effects in here?
It's a very fine science.
Could I say very quickly before we made the call with Nikki, I had a conversation up there about when we have both decided that the funniest thing in the world is some C&B work on someone's head in a billboard, especially if they're smiling.
Okay.
But what about if C&B has some fluid coming through?
Probably not for our billboards.
No, brilliant.
Wouldn't that suggest that for us?
Quickly go and C&B all our billboards right now.
They'll be so happy with us in Brisbane. Let's meet the callers who have been accidentally nude.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Excellent. What happened, sir?
Well, this is going back several years. We were driving around one of Sydney's local beaches. doing brown eyes out the window, as you do when you're in your early 20s at university. Mm-hmm. And one of the gentlemen in the back seat, unfortunately, got his ass caught between the top of the window and the bottom of the roof when the driver put the power windows up.
Fantastic. Was this the roadside authorities called?
The reason why the windows didn't get put down was because everybody in the front was laughing too much to find the buttons.
Yeah, job for the jaws of life.
And how long was he left hanging?
Oh, it was a good minute or so while we're up nailing the car up and down, I will say, Cronulla's beaches.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Well,
and hello to everyone.
You're another riot. Well, certainly, you know, there is a downside to public nudity.
Michael, are you still there?
I am indeed.
Do you think C&B... on the heads of those on billboards, especially if they're smiling, is hilarious?
I'll be responsible here and say no.
Okay, thank you. We'll take a poll. All right, we'll take a poll for listeners. Thank you, Michael.
Line for the brown eyes at high speed, but drawing the line at C&B on a billboard. Who's next?
Richard, how are you?
Very good, guys. How you doing?
Excellent, mate. What happened?
Mate, I was up in at Wet n Wild Water Park, you know, the big joint up in Queensland.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, decided we're going to sit down and have a bit of a bite to eat, and it's right at the bottom of one of the big water slides. There's a big splash pool next to sort of the decking with the chairs and everything.
Yeah.
We're sitting there having a bit of a drink, and this rather buxom young lady decided she'd go head first down the water slide.
Yes.
I thought, oh, this is going to go badly. Anyway, she's jumped on, she's come flying down to the bottom, she stood up, and there was just a standing ovation from about 10 blokes. And she's looked around and can't understand what the problem is. And I think one of the attendants is like, I think he might have been like a lifeguard or something, has kind of tapped her on the shoulder and said, your bikini's just under the water there.
Down the bottom of that water slide?
Oh, I think it is, mate. I think she needed a couple of Warwick Kappa's footballs, I think.
Beautiful. Well, Richard, just quickly, C&B on the heads of those on billboards, yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
One vote for yes, one for no.
Okay.
Don't forget to go to Wet n Wild, and, you know, fair enough.
It's a brilliant place.
It's Wet n Wild. It's not just wet.
No.
People like it wild. Who's next?
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey guys, how you going?
Good, thanks, brother. What happened?
Accidental from my part, but I got sacked in front of the grandstand of the MotoGP one year by the mate.
Yes. And was this up on the big screen by any chance?
Not that I saw, not that I've seen much.
Wow. John, were you facing the grandstand at the time?
I had back to the grandstand, fortunately, but there were still a number of people in front that got the sniggers.
Yes, and the cyclist would have lost concentration, I'm sure.
All right, John, to the real topic. C&B on the heads of those on a billboard, yes or no?
Mandatory.
Absolutely.
Mandatory.
Absolutely right.
All right, who else is accidentally new?
Hello, Pete, how are you?
Good, thanks, boys. How's yourself?
Excellent. What happened, sir?
One morning there was a car accident out the front of my house, so I got up and pulled the old PJs on and ran downstairs and was having a bit of a look and getting some weird looks from everyone that was looking at the car crash, and looked down and had the morning glory sticking out of the slit of the PJs.
It's just alleviating the carnage.
Well, yeah, it looked like I was excited about the car crash.
Oh, no.
Actually, I got another one for you too, boys.
Have you just? I'm not sure if we've got another one. I'll just check.
Okay.
What's that?
Me and the wife were staying at Sheraton on the Park there at Elizabeth Street in Sydney.
Yeah, right. Lovely.
It was an anniversary type deal, and we're up against the glass window. We thought there was a one-way window where the people in the park couldn't see us, but we could see them. And we were having a bit of fun up against the glass window, and went for a walk in the park next morning and realised you could see straight through the window. I wonder why there was a crowd there.
And, all right, Pete, quickly. Billboard C&B, yes or no?
You can get a bit more creative than a C&B, I think, on your billboard. Maybe turning the whole head into a C&B, not just putting it on the head.
Well, a challenge for our Queensland listeners.
Sorry about this, Queensland Triple M. I know they're not going to be very happy with us, but technically, it is promotion.
It is.
What a fabulous selection of accidental nudists.
We'll have to do this again. And hello to everyone.
Yeah.
Up against the glass in a hotel.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Biggin, for suggesting the idea. We'll be joined in the next hour by, I think this bloke's been nude a few times, in the aid of sketch comedy, Tom Gleisner.
Completely out of control. Screaming, punching, kicking.
I was waiting for a final kick of the gut there.
From Australian Crawl. sorry, just dropping consonants at random, in order to get us to try and run to time for once here at Get This, the home of
wastage and seepage.
We love a bit of that. Thank God you're here. That'll be on tonight. Mm-hmm. It's Wednesday, 7:30, Channel 10. Here's the judge, Tom Glyde. Who's on tonight? Another stellar lineup. We've got Merrick Watts at number the plate. Yes. Bob Franklin, one of our favourites.
One of your favourites in here.
Yeah. So laid back. He's just one notch off a coma now, Bob. We've had him in here for a year. Still not startled him.
No.
We've got to lower our sights, I think.
Well, right? I think well, next time he's in, let's try and get him to talk.
Yeah. Then we'll try and get him to get up. Peepy Box also joins us.
And Nish.
Yes, indeed. Nish does, in fact, have a surname. Mm-hmm. It just takes 4.5 minutes to pronounce it. So, in the interest of staying on time, Tony, I think we should just move straight. He was having trouble with it himself when he came in here. What about Peter Costello? What about getting him to walk through the door?
He's gone a bit. Well, he's gone a bit nuts, hasn't he?
Isn't it? You followed this scene. Had a dinner.
Yeah.
And who hasn't had a few drinks? And he's surrounded by a couple of journos and thought, yeah, I'm going to impress them. Bit of a big top talk. And you can just imagine him leaning forward with a glass of champagne going, if John Howard doesn't step down by...
What year is it?
What is it now? 4 years from now, I'm going to be that angry. No, sorry, make it 5 years. 5 years. It's up to 50. April 2006, he gave his deadline.
Yes.
It was like, you know, a year and a half in advance. That's not a threat.
No,
it really isn't. Yeah, I'm going to punch you in the face next Tuesday. Okay. Have you got a window?
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do. It's not a threat.
No.
But meanwhile, all the journalists have run off and written it down.
Oh, keep that as a bombshell.
And the headline this morning, I'll destroy how. And you get up the paper and you go, that, who's that going to be? Is that Kim Jong-il? Is it going to be Kevin Rudd? No, it's Costello himself. Yeah. Not a great threat. But meanwhile, things are imploding down there at Liberal headquarters because Wilson Tuckey sent a fax to the wrong people. He sent a fax questioning John Howard's leadership. He claims he, I don't know who he's supposed to be sending it to. Apparently, it's gone. How can you send a fax to the wrong person? Emails, I can understand.
We've all done that. We've all did that.
Yeah, the reply all, and then had to get one of those. I popped those immediately, followed up apologetic emails. I just sent a joke that might be construed as in poor taste by some people. It's too late. It's gone.
You are that guy.
Yeah.
It's on the website.
Mm. Who got the facts? They were members of the Liberal Party, but basically not the people that Wilson
CC'd to everybody. But who's your favourite nutbag MP? You've got Tuckey, you've got Catter, you've got a Lightfoot.
Oh, yeah.
And then people say, oh, I can't imagine Warwick Capper in office.
Just have a look at it.
I'm going to turn it down a bit.
Yeah. Well, Warwick didn't have to wear the mayoral robe, like the full chain.
Glad you brought it.
We're saying the full meter made gear that he's normally wearing, but with a sash, with mayor written on it.
I've got a new idea. Mm. Just a string, modesty football, and the mayoral robe.
The Crown Police, the Gold Coast.
Or a copy of the DVD that's hanging over the area. So he's promoting it and promoting his mayoral reign.
Tommy G had not even got in the door of our studio when he was asking me if Mark Jacko Jackson had made good on his promise to send us the trailer for Yobbo's Up the Gun. So have you been following the story?
Oh, absolutely. And you claim you've actually seen some evidence of a film being made?
Jacko did send us something. We thought, this will be great. There'll be clips of Gogo for the show. Put it on it. And we fire up the DVD and... baffling experimental cinema.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
It was like a trailer for Zabriskie Point or something.
See, I was thinking it was more along the lines. Remember that Stefan Bennett, didn't he make some sort of bad Aussie kind of Ockham movie?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Is he a director?
Oh, my God,
he's an actor by...
I think Stephen Dennis.
Yeah, he's an actor.
He played a hunky mechanic movie.
Who are you thinking of?
He plays Paul Robinson.
He's one-legged on there.
Never made a bad Australian film. He's just made Neighbours.
There was a couple of years ago, and it was all this Stone the Claim and Crows. It was set in the outback.
It was The Crop. I remember that one.
Under the Radar?
No, Nicky's look.
Welcome to
Stephen Elliott.
Stephen Elliott. That's what I said, Stephen.
Yeah, that was pretty dodgy.
That's what I assumed Yobbo's Up the Gut was going to be heading towards.
Yeah, see, you're talking about an $8.5 million film there, Welcome to Wolf Hall.
Really?
This is a film made by a bunch of blokes who are touring the outback with a stand-up comedy tour. And when they've got some spare time, they're making a film. And
How would you describe the footage we saw?
Okay, well, it was bizarre. It was like, you know that videotape in The Ring?
Where it was like that.
One bizarre image after the other. Warwick Capper as a marionette for some reason.
That's when they lost me. They lost me at Warwick the marionette. Bill Hunter just yelling into people's faces like it's some David Lynch deal.
Well, if you want to chase as yet unreleased but wonderful Australian films, years ago we were making Russell Coit up in Rural Adventures up in Alice Springs, and we went to this kind of outback station, and there were these huts there that were just like the single front, you know, they were the film huts, they didn't grind them. We're going, right. What's going on there? Well, that's for Troy Dan's feature film.
Troy Dan, what do you mean about reproduction? He was kind of, he inspired, I'm hoping, the G-string work of Glenn Roberts.
Russell Coit, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, there was actually sets built, so presumably,
yes.
The script and
character.
Anyway, a film was sort of semi under production.
I love it when a film never gets finished. That's one of my favourites. An Australian comedian made a film a few years ago, which has never been released. And this comedian liked to drink. And so on the first day of shooting, they're doing
narrow the field. Right,
the lawyers are hovering. Mm. But the first scene that they were shooting was at 5 a.m, and he had to scull a whole pint of beer.
Right.
And someone's gone, we'll give you the old Benny Hill comedy beer glass where you're not, you know, it looks like you're sculling it. And he goes, no, mate, this film's got to be authentic. So he sculled the beer, and then they've gone, yeah, here in the gate, we need to do another take. 7 takes later,
away you go.
Rest of the day shooting called off. Forget it. Filming never completed. Motion picture never released.
Australian actors are very intrepid like that. Once, sorry to harp on all the adventures, but this happened in far north Queensland. We had to do a scene where Glenn and Russell were sitting in a little dinghy and he was fishing with a couple of old mates, and always with Russell the Duke, was he going to admit these people before. They were locals, and during his little piece of camera, one of them was going to stand and take a fairly obvious leak over the side of the home. So we had this fantastic, we want a bottle of mineral water sort of standing by him, just from the angle, if you just hold this in front of you, the Benny Hill angle,
yeah.
It'll look like, don't need that, mate. Take one, bang, straight out, not a problem.
Wow.
Take two, bang, not a problem.
Take six, I think we had to bring the Mount Franklin in. But
for most of it, that's dedication.
Dedication. Who needs some doubles? Don't forget the Russell Coit DVDs, complete with water sports, available now. Find video retailers. More in a moment. I'll get this. Nothing left to lose. Tom Gleiser is with us on Get This here at Triple M. Thank God you're here. Goes out 7:30 tonight on Channel 10. And just while we're plugging things, I think today is the official release date of the Barjark and Olden Days DVD at last.
How many Easter eggs have we got in there, Tony?
17! Always striving for quantity. At Late Show Productions. Tom, you've been on a publicity tour, have you not?
I have. We do this with Thank God You're Here about most seasons. So sort of midway through, we'd like to get around the country instead of just staying at home. So I've been visiting all the capital cities pretty much, which is great. They're so enormously grateful to see people. Have you been to Perth? We go to Perth with this show?
No, the show doesn't go to Perth.
Podcast certainly does. Okay, well, Perth is the ultimate. They, honestly, I think they'll occasionally get a housemate from Big Brother. That's a big show. They'll make a telephone around that again. So really, when you step off the plane in Perth, you are so welcome.
I know it sounds kind of a bit like we're full of ourselves, but seriously, I went to Tasmania to promote something. They're going, oh, we haven't had anyone since Grant Dodwell.
He's still here. Tassie's weird, though. Tassie never quite, even when, I remember with the panel, we say, is the panel on in Tasmania? They go, yeah, but we're about 3 weeks behind. How can it be 3 weeks behind?
And also, they don't have Channel 10. We just sort of have a hybrid of channels. In fact, I think the panel and Burke's Backyard are one show.
Exactly.
In a garden somehow.
They've morphed them. But it's
like one road testing Labradors on the desk.
That could work. In Perth, you're welcome. You know, as you always do when you're doing it. You know, look, how long have we got? It's just one break or the two. You're here for the week. away we go. They go, no, actually, I don't know what they can do that. The other beauty is sometimes when you can't get to places, you would have done it, Tony, with that egg. You sit in a one radio studio, and you're given a list of people that you're going to be talking to. So you might be talking to the wacky zoo in, in WA or whatever.
Good.
And I cannot do a breakfast shift anywhere where there's not a last-minute amendment. So, for example, I've got on my list here that I'm talking to the guys on Get This, and I'll go, okay, and of course that's
Rooney, Ed, and Richard. Then I'll always be, oh, actually, don't mention Richard.
What?
It's always the third person.
Yeah. Often the girl.
Don't mention Susie. Why? I said, we just done it's Liz today.
Yeah,
we've had to take all the billboards down. We can't go into it. It's always in here. It's always in the hands of the lawyers. Well, she's no longer. She was doing traffic, but now she's just doing. She's not there. Don't mention her.
That's an L change.
Always. It's a hotbed. It's a volatile bed. Did you do any of those shows where there's one in Queensland somewhere where they want you to do an hour, but they'll say all the songs we're going to play in the hour are going to be your favourite songs?
Yes, yes.
And then, so I did the show and I go, right, so do I send you a list of my favourite songs? And he goes, no, we'll choose them for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going, but how will I know what my songs are? And he goes, I'll just weave it seamlessly into the conversation. So you'll be talking about something and he'll go, yeah, well, it sounds like a great project, mate. Did you have much help?
What do you mean, help?
Help? Well, it's one of your favourite songs. Here it is. And then you have to clean up that mess. You have to take responsibility for having chosen a particularly bad 80s.
Oh, but you think they're going, help, it's going to be the Beatles.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And then they're going, okay, yes, when I thank God you're here, yeah, you weren't too shy. And go on, hang on, you're not going to play Catch a Goo Goo? I'm not going to say that's one of my five favourite songs.
And of course they did. Look, we're going to talk about hobbies today. I don't think we've got up on the get this hobby horse. I didn't know we had one.
Yeah.
You've been building one in the back.
Rich and having out the back doing some woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning stuff. All right. You want to settle up with us, Tom?
I'd be delighted.
That'd be next.
They just don't get it.
Around the nation on Triple M. Tom Gleiser is with us. Thank God you're here. He's on Channel 10 tonight. But let's get up on the Get This Hobby Horse. I don't even know what it is.
Nice, Rich.
What is it, Ed?
Oh, no.
Our guest looks confused.
I'm baffled. Okay, this is why we're doing this, because I was talking to someone the other day, and she said that her grandfather had a hobby of restoring cars. And I said, oh, great. A lot of old, you know, older gentlemen, the guy living who lives next door to me, does up MGs.
You know, nothing unusual about
that. Classic cars. Yeah. Except he likes to do mid-80s Honda Civics.
Restored to pristine mid-80s.
He loves it. You know, the 4MATIC. He loves the Honda 4MATIC. He says they're back, returned to their former glory. Soft seating, boo-hoo, baby. So, yeah, so I thought that's quite an interesting hobby. So I thought we'd play Get This Hobby.
Nick Kershaw, Kasingle, poised on the
side. Absolutely right, ready to go.
Mid-80s condition. All right, do you have any unusual hobbies there, Cavalli?
No. I mean, I pretty much, it's pretty much table tennis and basketball around my house. I'm shooting, playing with myself, and
they're not hobbies, they're more lifestyle. All work-related, too, I should point out.
And your YouTube. My favourite thing is, at the moment is watching one animal attack another animal on YouTube.
Gazelles.
That kind of thing.
Always good. Tom, do you have or know of anyone with an unusual hobby? Are you into Warhammer? I have a nephew-in-law who is so into Warhammer. Yeah. Is this tiny model?
Little plastic models. My son's into it, and he goes down to the local mind game shop, and they play Warhammer.
There's a room out the back. In fact, he informs me there's two rooms out the back.
Oh.
I've only seen one, but
it's a makeout room.
It's like a speakeasy.
They're not making out.
All right.
and terrain board and these little plastic, amazing marketing exercises. They know what's cost about. 3 cents,
right?
Plus the lead paint, of course. And then you have to assemble them, and then there's these codexes. Codexes are like massive manuals which describe the qualities of every one of these little figurines, what they can do, and how many rolls of the dice will take to kill them.
Right.
But you can't kill them instantly because then they get to roll the dice and get immunity points, and then they get morale points, and I'm boring myself.
Is there anything in Warhammer that would transfer over to actual war? I mean, there's not much dice work involved in the Gulf, I'm guessing.
No. Exactly. So it's complete fantasy, and it seems to just be kind of a teenage boy thing.
All right.
And it's pretty healthy, though, Tom, because he could be doing it on the World of Warcraft.
Is the online
I had a friend, I've said this before, who calculated how long he'd been playing, and he'd literally lost 4.5 months of his life.
Oh, well.
The World of Warcraft. But he was level 60.
So,
he had a flaming sword, so.
Unusual Hobbies is a great documentary you can get on DVD called Trekkies.
Oh, yes.
Which follows people who are really into Star Trek. There's one guy in that doco whose hobby is building exact replicas of props from Star Trek. But he's done all the obvious ones over the years, so he's down to things like, Oh, this is the depressurisation chamber from episode 23 that only appears in the background for 7 seconds.
Mm.
And he's built this box, and it's like one of those sort of steam bath things.
Oh, for jockeys.
Right, those old money. The gangsters would be bummed off in it, where your head's just sticking out of a box.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. It's a depressurisation chamber. I'm assuming it just sat in the background of a spaceship.
Mm.
He's modified it so he can drive it down to the shop.
Brilliant.
This guy in the full uniform, holding up, you know, 20 cars in traffic, down the street, straight into the supermarket, up aisle 9, so kind of tragic, yet practical.
Yet practical, that's what we're looking for. Unusual hobbies, Mr. Marsland.
I used to collect lizards when I was a kid.
All
kinds of reptiles. Love lizards, still have a great affection for them. Mad magazines, of course.
Oh,
the issue where they actually have a record, a 45-inch, 45 single.
Oh, yes.
Sort of a flexi gets here. And it was really weird because it was the first audio of Mad magazine. This is before Mad TV.
Yeah.
It's very hard to, very strange to hear Mad magazine speak. But I've got a friend, actually a bit of a well-known radio TV personality, who is obsessed with planes and pilots. And to the point where if you go over his house, and if you ask nicely enough, there's a garden shed filled with pilot and airplane memorabilia, like Biggles glasses and portraits of planes. I think Amelia Earhart is actually
in the basement.
He looks cool on the outside.
Wow. We'll have to see who that is.
I can say Tony Moclair.
Yeah, comes on this show.
Yeah.
Plane, yeah, is that bloke?
He used to have a show called The Flying Squad. Because
he's
absolutely fascinating.
His collection is incredible.
All right, this is the kind of stuff we're looking for. Get up on our hobby horse. Yes, yes, call us with anything. 133353. Talking Heads, and she was. Tom Gleisner is with us on Get This as we canvass people atop the hobby horse. Nicely done, Richard. That's his hobby, pushing buttons. Who's got another one, Ed? Hi, Heather.
Oh, hi. I collect used candle wax.
Oh, you used candle wax for what end?
Well, I put them all back. I just mould them all back together, and I've actually got boxes sitting around. I just like the smell of all the wax sitting together.
Oh, right. So you're making new candles from old?
Yeah, just went on, like, your wax strips off the side. I just break it off away from the table and just shove it in a box.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything unusual about that.
Heather, can you use the wax you wax your legs with? Can that be turned into candles?
Oh, I suppose you could.
Yeah, you're working on that now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Does your house look like a Stevie Nicks album cover?
Yeah, possibly.
I knew it.
Oh,
that's not that unusual. Beautiful. Who's got a weirder one?
Good day, Adrian.
Hello, Howie.
Good, how are you?
Good, mate. This one's actually a neighbour, an old bloke that I had that I used to live next door to.
Yeah.
And I got caught over to his place because we used to go over and just try and be nice to the old boy because he used to have loud parties.
Yeah.
And as he was, he took us out of the back shed to show us he got toy trains.
Oh, yes.
And he actually had it like the old Malcolm movie.
Yep.
The letterbox used to come up to the house on a train. And he also had, because he converted his shed, because it was a house where he used to drive down the back and the garage was at the back.
Right.
But he also had one coming out of the garage. He used to go to the window sill and his wife could put a beer in it and then it'd come back down to him in the shed.
Oh, better than Malcolm. That's kind of nice.
I mean, genius.
It's either trains or an amphetamine factory.
Either way.
Maybe you can combine the two. Deliver the amphetamine by a tiny model train.
No.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. I always, you know, that is a great scene in Malcolm, but when you're sitting in there going, what happens when it rains?
Yeah.
You know, people love it when you say things like that out loud in a cinema.
Who's going next?
Hi, Sean.
Hey, mate. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
Good, mate. What do you collect?
Mate, I collect Converse All-Stars.
Converse All-Stars.
Have you got the tiger print ones, Sean?
No, I do have zebra print ones, though.
Ooh.
I had to get the zebra print ones from the state. Last count, I've got 65 or 66 pairs, I think.
And what's your most prized pair there, Sean?
Most prized pair would probably have to be a pair that came from the state, the black pair with red Celtic flames up the side of them. All the hot rod ones that have got the hot rod flames from the toe, they're pretty cool as well.
Do you ever wear any of them?
Yeah, I wear most of them. I obviously can't wear them all that often, but I wear most of them. There's a few that are complete collectors that stay in the box and don't come out, but Yeah, most of them get worn.
When it comes to sports, footwear is the only time men have a real interest in shoes, isn't it?
Very true.
Yeah, very much.
If you said, if you were a girl and you said, I've got 60 pairs of shoes, you go, yeah. Thanks, Melda, next.
Really underfunded.
Yeah, Melda is what I cop most of the time. My friends, it's either you're a Melda Marcos or you've got more shoes than your girlfriend.
Yeah. And, Tom, what was the equivalent from our era of that shoe? Is it the Barter Bullet or the Barter Scout?
I think you're talking the Dunlop Volley.
Oh, with the Dunlop.
What's the one that had the compass? Oh, yeah, the Barter Scout had a compass and a real paw print. So in case you got lost in the playground, your parents would assume you've been eaten by a wild animal.
And didn't a blade slide out for removing things from a horse's hoof?
That's the one.
It's a complicated shoe. Thank you very much, Sean. Who's next?
Hello, Nicola.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. You collect something?
Yes, I collect random playing cards.
I see. So you'll find a playing card in the street and then just add it to your collection.
Yeah.
How many are you up to? Two? Three?
No. I see them all over the world. I travel for work.
Right.
So I've probably got about 40 or 50.
And is it so that you'll eventually be able to have a whole pack of cards? Wouldn't that be great?
No, I just put them like in a photo album and I think, oh, that's what I got in India or that's where I found this, and it's really great.
Is there one that's more common than the others, Nicola? Is there any card that you find more often?
Oh, you know, just the plain blue ones or the black ones with like the diamond shapes on the back? Right. They're pretty popular, yeah.
They're often left by serial killers.
Yeah,
they're a perfect clue. So you might be interrupting some from a murder spree there, Nicola. Be careful.
Right.
Great photo album.
Yeah.
That's when we went to India.
Yes.
Six of spades. Beautiful. Who's got another hobby for us?
Hi, mate. How are you?
Excellent, sir. What's your hobby?
My hobby is, you know the old Sega games, the old Sega systems, Master Systems, Mega Drives and all that?
Yeah,
I've got just about every game for all those consoles, and I've just started on Nintendo as well.
So you say you've started on Super Nintendo, have you?
Yeah, only just. In the last 6-12 months.
Have you got Super International Cricket?
Ooh, that's a tough one. No, I don't actually. Not yet.
A wonderful from the Beam range of Australian-made video games.
Yeah.
The Sega Mega Drive was great. Do you have Road Rash 3?
Road Rash. Yeah. I've got all the Road Rashes. Got all the NBA Jams.
Ooh.
Wonder Boy. Bubble. Just about all the games for Sega.
Is there any, what's the jewel in the crown that you haven't obtained?
Honestly, yeah, I've just about got them all for Sega.
Okay.
Do you have James Pond?
James Pond? Never heard of it.
Ah, gotcha. There was James Pond and James Pond 2, which was a spy game with a fish dressed up in a tuxedo.
We might leave that one in the chat room, I
think. Yeah, no worries.
Well, that's great.
Be on the forum, bro.
Hello to any women listening. Who is going last?
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Good. Thank you, sir. What's your hobby?
I play a game called Sacred Underground, constant, solid, 24 hours a day, every single day of the week. We're getting divorced over it.
What is it?
It's a role-playing game on internet.
Not role-playing in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bugger it, ever since you put on the weight. Hard language, sorry.
Okay, well, there you go. That's an interesting hobby.
Interesting hobby.
I used to have a better hobby.
Yeah.
But then I got married.
Okay. Right, there you go. Maybe the marriage wasn't such a good idea.
No. I think he's found the perfect match for you, Pete, which is...
That other fella, he had a good idea. Trains on speed. They might bloody arrive on time.
Yeah, there you go. He's brought it home.
We've got more good ideas than we'll even realise.
Good on you, Pete.
Thank you to everyone.
Who
got up on the hobby horse today.
Thank you.
Tom, do you want to stick around for more?
I'd be delighted to.
I'm sure you're wondering, what Richard Marsden's sitting on. He's been a bit quiet in this hour. Let's hear him sing next on Get This. That's the Androids. Whole lot of love here at Get This on Triple M. Tom Greisner is with us. I know you're a Bob Dylan fan, Tom, man. Are you going along to see him live?
You're never sure with Dylan because he either does great shows or it's just an embarrassment. He shuffles out and stands with his back to the audience.
I mean, he's often mystifying. You can't understand what he's on about. And this was illustrated by our own friend here, Mr. Richard Marsden.
That's right.
Did a sketch last week on the show, which we can't put on the podcast for music copyright reasons, so I want to play it.
Not just for comedy reasons.
No, he doesn't want us to play it.
Come on, Richard.
No. Well, I mean, the thing is about Dylan is that, I mean, the lyrics are, if you look at them in the wrong way, could be nonsensical.
Yep.
Yes. I mean, there's lots of metaphors and stuff mixed in.
Sure.
Also, a lot of people, when they tune into this show for the first time, often fail to understand exactly what we are talking about. What if the two met? What a wonderful melting pot that would be.
Hit that button.
But okay.
The voice of an entire generation is back. He's been a musical icon for 5 decades. And this proudly present from Dylan Watt. Get this explained to us. One turning one radio show into pure poetry. The old man said, "Feel the steel, put his brain in the thing, and turn him into the wheel." His neighbor, Dylan, leads the battlings of Marvel and Cavalier into musical magic. Give me the rights of killer bees. Don't run the doors, but it all means. It's his stuff. Your name, but Chris. The list of favorite singles. On YouTube, there's a meat that trigger. You need to look here.
One show on that. Bob Dylan, get this explained.
I ain't gonna say those with a K no more. I ain't gonna punch a dog in no more.
The voice of protest will move and mystify.
There we got to play the Missy Higginson. She's in the song in the Dirty Cowtown. They get a stand back and drop it from the sky. Honestly, no reason to go to the crowd.
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event.
Shaft of hope. Shaft of hope. Whatever happened to the shaft of hope? It's under. Mario.
Bob Dylan. So get this explained to us.
You put this everywhere. He's a person in German holiday.
Supported by Steven Seagal, Thunderbox.
In the dreams, as he comes red to a day.
All right. I work on this show, Tom. I don't know what happened to that man. All right. We're watching some of the most important events. Just to play it.
This Tom guy. Thank God you're here. That'd be going out tonight, wouldn't it, on Channel 10? Episode tonight is episode 6, so we're halfway through. Oh, wow, beautiful. I've heard a rumour there's going to be likely more episodes of this series. Is that still under wraps?
Under wraps. We might stretch it a little bit. You know what, I'll say I'll help.
All right, very nice. And don't forget, it's Sleepy Box, Bob Franklin, Merrick, and me. The top episode and the bar down to Golden Day DVD rating stuff. Now, thanks to everyone who called up to see us email in. We'll see you in for a checkup in a few weeks, Bob. And our key phrase today, well, I reckon it was just Richard giving the Prime Minister a beautiful splendid bar.
I think he's been incredibly generous, so I thank him very warmly.
That's a practical tool.